Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I was going to start off Theology Thursday today by reading to you some of the comments on my Facebook page that came in recently when I had something somewhat negative to say about the current president. Except, you know, there's this little thing called the FCC, and I can't exactly repeat what people say on social media and on the Facebook page when it comes to, yours truly. So I can't really do that. But it does bring into question what we do as Christians. Now, I'm going to go ahead and segregate here today on the show. I'm going to segregate the general population and then the Christian population. Now, I'm talking about actual born-again, I-know-the-gospel kind of Christian population, as opposed to the 76% of Americans that would just kind of by default say, well, sure, I'm a Christian. And so how should we act on social media? What is our witness like on social media? And now as we've got all these things going on, whether it's gun control conversations as a result of what happened in Las Vegas, or as we talk about Donald Trump's engagement of what's going on with the lady down in Puerto Rico and all of that stuff. And there's so many different things that we're talking about and arguing about. And so we've had the pleasure once a year of having Mr. Sam Morris on. He's laughing because he's like, I only get on once a year. But you're on, are you not?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Right now, currently.
He's currently here. And Sam, tell us about your life here at Southeastern Baptist. And welcome back to the show, by the way.
Thank you for having me. I work here at Southeastern doing electronic marketing. So mainly what I do is social media for Southeastern. We have 10 accounts across various platforms. What that means is we roughly engage with about 100,000 people in any given day between Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of the above. And then I also oversee our websites as well as our email marketing. So I do a whole bunch of digital stuff.
So the amazing thing about as we're going to kind of unpack and take our Christian worldview into the world of social media and our online etiquette and our online witness today. I mean, you just go back like that's an iPhone 8 over there staring at us,
whoa,
which is doing Facebook Live. So if you want to join us by Facebook Live, facebook.com/C2A radio will land you on the page so you can actually watch Sam and I do radio, which is thrilling. It has to be because, I mean, it's obvious, right? Look at us. So you've got that. But 10 years ago, those things didn't even exist.
They did. It just couldn't do that.
Yeah, they just couldn't do that. But smartphones and social media and all this stuff. So we'll talk about the history of social media and our ability to interact with one another in kind of a digital space. And then we'll move forward and talk about where we're at today and how we use social media. It's important, I think, Sam, that you come on every year and talk about this and kind of give us a little bit more of a theological perspective as Christians engaging the world, because, you know, most of us will post things, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, wherever. And so it's usually pretty obvious that we're Christians, that we believe the Bible, that we're kind of people of the book. We love Jesus, all that kind of stuff. But we can turn around. It reminds me of James chapter 3 or 4, out of the same mouth proceed both blessings and cursings. And so all of a sudden, people are watching our tone and how we interact. But let's start a little bit with the history of social media, because this definitely hasn't been around all that long.
You're right. So really things started in the 70s with something called Talk-O-Matic. Most people and most posts would look at like 1997 as the start of actual social media. But during a talk that I give regularly, I like to talk about Talk-O-Matic. It was on the University of Illinois. It was basically just computers that were hardwired together that you could have essentially a group text message with. You could instantaneously talk with them, see what they're typing and that kind of stuff. That was basically king until the 80s when forums came. During the 80s, you had forums. Forums are, you know, anything you wanted to talk about. So I know, like, Steve, you like Beanie Babies, so you're on the
right,
forums.
Right, thank you.
For Beanie Babies. I like to, you know, help people out. So you can talk about forums, get onto something, and talk with people who have something in common with you. That was basically true until 97 when you had something like the 6 Degrees, you know, with Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
So you had something like that came out where you could interact with people on the same platform. And then in 2003, MySpace started. And MySpace basically shifted everything. So what you had before was you were talking to people about what you had in common with them. Cars, for your instance, Beanie Babies. And then from there,
Star Wars.
So you went from there to having a conversation, not just about something you had in common with people, but about yourself. You became the subject rather than, say, cars or something else. And that's the subtle shift that we continually live in. And Facebook, a year later in 2004, comes up. So 2004 to now, you see that social media is really about you. It's not necessarily about the conversation or the community. And so one thing that we always want to do, or I always want to do when talking about social media, is to talk about that history and move people to the idea of it started out as a community builder. And what we've taken and made it is not so much about community. It's about self. We've made it selfish endeavors. So to switch and look back at how it started is to really turn social media, one, on its head and ironically go back to its foundations.
Yeah.
And then to use it well. And as Christians, that's a good place to start from, because once we start from there, we start to go, this is a tool. It's not an end-all, be-all for me to become either the next biggest reporter for my breakout viral video or for something to serve myself. What it is, it's something that I can use to serve the kingdom and build a kingdom, not my own kingdom.
Yeah, you look at that, and we'll talk about Facebook by the numbers just to be specific when we come back from the first break. But, you know, 1.23 billion daily active users on Facebook. And essentially what that is 1.23 billion pulpits and all these people on their individual soapboxes shouting out to one another, this is what I think about this, that. Yeah. The other thing, this is what I experience, this is what I feel. And it really is uber me-centric.
Mm, very.
And we're just sitting up there and we're all kind of yelling at each other.
And you've got people talking about their own God, whether it's themselves, their car, their something, or their perceived image of a God. And so the question is then, as Christians, are we talking about God? Are we talking about ourselves? Or are we talking about something completely worthless?
Yeah. So we'll kind of unpack that when we come back from the break. And we'll look at another part. And Sam's getting ready to do a blog post on this at for Lifeway, which is the kind of the research arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, 6 inherent risks of social media. So we'll look at that, kind of the downsides, and then the positive sides. What can we actually use this for as people of the book and as we engage the world? And listen, you know, you and I have talked before about keyboard courage, and it's amazing what we will put in social media, what we will type into Facebook that we would never, ever say in a face-to-face situation. If we're sitting in a room, the things that we'd say there versus the things that we'll broadcast on Facebook, you got two different worlds there. And that's a bit of a problem. And I think we need to get back to the point where we're actually talking more about an engagement and a conversation as opposed to a proclamation.
Right.
We proclaim God's word.
Right.
We don't proclaim our own.
Right.
And I need help with that as well, obviously. This is Steve Noble with Sam Morris. It is Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist on Call to Action. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble Call to Action Radio, and that music you're listening to right now happens to be a friend of mine. That's Matt Papa, and Matt Papa and his band will be here in Raleigh on Friday, October 27th for our fourth annual Call to Worship event. So we'll have Matt Papa there that night, as well as the Upper Room praise team. So you guys have heard, most of you that have been listening to this show for a while, have heard my slightly older brother from another mother, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr., of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, and a big black church here in Raleigh. And so we're doing Call to Worship this year at the Upper Room. So we're going to have Matt Papa there, and then we're going to have the Upper Room Praise and Worship team there. So they're going to do separate praise and worship sets. But at the end of the night, we're going to mash them together, and they're going to have this whole kind of contemporary rock and contemporary Christian music thing, plus black gospel, raise the roof thing. And we're going to ram all that stuff together, the last two songs of the night, as we worship together on Friday, October 27th. Joshua Broom, from Porn Star to Pastor. He was on the show back in June. 7 years in L.A., 1,000 films, including 2 years in male-male porn. And now the guy's training to be a pastor. Unbelievable testimony. And then an onstage interview with myself, Bishop Wooden, and our awesome lieutenant governor here in the state of North Carolina, Dan Forrest, another believer in Christ. So I want to start giving away tickets every single day here on the air. And normally online we're selling them for $5 a piece, which really just goes to help cover the cost of it. But we want as many people to be a part of it as possible. It's really an incredible night of praise and worship and an important night to come out and support this radio ministry and to help financially as well. So I just want to start giving out tickets every day. So you call in 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH is the number. And if you can be here in Raleigh on Friday night, October 27th at 7 p.m., then we want to get you there. Bring your family. That'll be a That's a pretty intense testimony, but Joshua does a great job of making it PG-13 at worst. But he gives enough details so you know what he's talking about, but not so many details that it's disrespectful and inappropriate. So it's going to be a super powerful night. I want to give away tickets every day between now and then. So give us a call, 866-348-7884. All Howard, my producer, needs is your name and your email address. But make sure you've got a reasonable chance of coming and joining us that night. And if it's everybody in your family or you and some friends, whatever you think you can bring, we want as many people there as possible. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. We'll get your name and your email address, and I'll email you, and we'll get you your tickets for Call to Worship coming up on Friday, October 27th. Today on Theology Thursday, talking to Sam Morris about kind of our social media footprint and how we interact with that as Christians. We were talking about the history of it, going all the way back to 1973 and early, and even with MySpace and stuff. We're just talking to people that we have similarities with. That's kind of the friendly confines of my tribe, right? That's what we were doing. And then MySpace starts to blow that stuff out. And then, of course, Facebook. And we're looking at Facebook by the numbers. And I think Facebook, for most of us as adults on Christian radio anyway, that's where we do most of our social interaction. So Facebook is just how big now, Sam?
So we just over in September passed 2 billion monthly active users, which typically is your gauge on how many people are on the platform itself. So 2 billion monthly on a day, any given day, you've got about 1.35 billion.
That's crazy.
Seven billion people in the world. 2 billion of them are on Facebook.
Man. And so the activity there is massive. Some other things you have here in your notes, 1 in 5 page views in America are on Facebook. In other words, Facebook makes up 20% of America's internet usage. So you're getting to web pages through Facebook.
Yeah.
So you're following stories and whatever links.
Yeah, so if you combine Google and YouTube together, you've got about 11%. Facebook itself is 22%.
Yeah, totally insane. So that's just normal. That's where we live. That's what's going on. So most of us are there. Most of us are, I think, here in the Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill area, there's like 1.2 million people in the total market. The last time I checked, there's about 500,000 Facebook users. So coming up on a half the market uses Facebook pretty regularly. So let's dive into kind of these 6 inherent risks of social media in general. So the risks that are involved, and then we'll get into kind of the theology and how we engage it as Christians.
Perfect. So typically, when I'm giving a talk on social media, my first thing is to engage parents and talk about cyberbullying. It's a real thing that teens deal with, but at the same time, it's something that I think as adults we have to remember as well. When we disagree with someone, how are we disagreeing with them? We were talking at the break about just being civil in our disagreement.
Yeah.
Part of that is just being convictional, but doing it in a way as Christians that's worthy of the gospel. That's from Dr. Ashford here at Southeastern. But for bullying, we have to think through, like, are we actually disagreeing in a way that's helpful to the other person, or are we just downgrading them or degrading them by the way we're arguing their argument? So are we coming at their argument, or are we coming them, you know, ad hominem at their personality?
Well, the interesting thing about that, and I see this all the time, especially, you know, even on my own Facebook page, I'm Facebook.com/C2A Radio, where we're doing Facebook Live right now. You don't have to be 15 or 16 or 12 to be involved in cyberbullying.
Right.
I see it happen sometimes on Facebook with a bunch of adults who claim to be Christians.
Right.
One person kind of takes a contrarian position, and everybody else just goes ballistic.
Yeah.
And to me, that looks exactly like bullying.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's attacking the one, or the one is just attacking outright everyone. And so you got to think through, how am I doing that? That's bullying. We think of bullying, I think we typically think high school, you know, kids. But at the same time, as adults, we bully each other. And so to think through, how are we disagreeing? The next one is always being connected. So overly connected, where you're always having to either have your phone. There's actually number 3 is something called nomophobia, which is a new phobia. The fear of being disconnected and or not having control over how you are connected. So I gave a talk at a camp for youth, and this girl had brought a burner phone. So she was supposed to turn her phone in before she comes to the main chapel services, and she gave a phone in, but it wasn't really a phone. It was a dead phone that she had just brought to drop off so that she could keep control over how she's connected. Fear of missing out's a huge one, and I think this is actually ties back into bullying. Fear of missing out, we call it FOMO, is the anxiety of being left out of a conversation. So someone's talking about something, or everyone's talking about something, so I need to jump in and I need to also talk about that, can lead to saying things without thinking, can lead to saying things unwisely, and where you are actually jumping in on the bandwagon to beat someone up, and they don't need to be beat up. And while there's many, many times where you see conversations about like a PR person getting fired for something that's said on social media. We just saw that this week.
Yeah, the CBS person, right.
But the conversation about that is even like to go, what she said was not right, but at the same time to go, how was our disagreement? Was that Christianly, A, or did we do so in a way that was worthy of the gospel? If we did, then that's fine. Now, if we didn't, we have something we have to repent of. And so the question is, when you see that, are you jumping on the bandwagon to just beat someone up because everyone else is doing it? Are you jumping off the bridge because everyone else is doing it? Or do you have a legitimate reason? Lots of people have lost their jobs for what they've posted on social media, CBS lady being the example this week, saying something careless, saying something in poor taste. I've heard of many pastors who pastor search committees won't hire them because they're too sarcastic in their posts.
Wow.
So that's something to also be aware of.
It's out there. Well, let me just stop for a second because I just want to make this perfectly obvious. So we both mentioned the CBS thing, okay? The CBS fires vice president who said Vegas victims didn't deserve sympathy because they're country music fans who are often Republican. So that's about to hit 40,000 people reached in interacting on my Facebook page, okay, when I shared that. But I'm just going to read you some of these comments, okay? This is real people, and easily 95% of the people on my Facebook page would call themselves Christians. Here we go. She's disgusting. You are a very sick person. Hate to be you on Judgment Day. Stupid Democrats. What's wrong with these people? Just another loudmouth liberal idiot. Sick people. You stupid B.I.T. What an ignorant comment. She is sick. Showing her true colors. People like her have no feelings. I hope she is disbarred. Glad they fired her. She's going to burn in hell.
See, that's not helpful.
That's just a few. So that's why we're talking about this today on Theology Thursday and a Call to Action. We'll be right back. Go away, you dumb idiot. I hope you rot in hell.
That's a way to start a conversation.
That's no way to start a conversation. But, I mean, I've shown some things to my family. Welcome back to Call to Action Radio. This is Steve Noble here on Theology Thursday with Sam Morris, who works in the communications department out here at Southeastern and helps to manage their, they got a nice-sized social media platform across all the different types of social media. And when they're representing, you're representing not just a seminary, not just the Southern Baptist Convention, but Jesus Christ himself. And so today we're talking, we have a chance to visit with Sam every once in a while and talk about social media etiquette for us as Christians. And I've shown my family, Sam, some comments that I've gotten on Facebook. And you know what draws it out is if I say anything negative about Trump. Because we have plenty of people on my Facebook page and people that listen to the show that are big Trump supporters. I support him where I can. I pray for him regularly. I voted for him, but not excitedly. And I'll use the same weights and measures against Donald Trump as I would use against Barack Obama or anybody else, including myself. But it's amazing. My family just gets shocked sometimes as to what they see on there. And these are people that have chosen to like the page.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I come after their, I think it's a sacred cow for them, and whammo, and it's just, where did everybody's Christianity go? And sometimes I can be rather sharp in my comments online too, and it's something that we shouldn't be. Again, I think we can be forceful in a certain way. I think we can be persuasive. I think we can have a certain amount of righteous indignation, although man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. And so that's tricky as to how we engage, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It's very tricky, and at the same time, to go with what we're talking about. You see, you use the word sacred cow. So, what are we making our God? Is the ultimate question. And there's right ways to view the country being run. I have desires for it for sure, but making those views God is not God. God is God, and so ultimately we are ambassadors for Him. And how do we use this tool of social media to build His kingdom and not our ideas, so to speak.
And Randy Shea, somebody that we talk about Facebook, we're doing Facebook Live right now as well as we do most days of the week on the show. That's facebook.com/C2A Radio if you want to join us that way. But Randy Shea, he said, and this is well said, I think that many oftentimes forget that there are more than one way of looking at things at our online interactions. Of course, he brings up Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I think we've all eaten some of that bitter fruit as we've said things online that we shouldn't have said. And oftentimes, and when I'm teaching, I'll say, with my own kids, I'll say, hey, did you ever kind of go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Well, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Exactly.
So the little dark secret is we say or type everything that comes. It's in our heart.
It's there already. And part of I think a good way to take an audit, so to speak, of your heart. We talk oftentimes, and I know pastors talk oftentimes about looking at your money. Where your money is spent is where your heart's at. And that's true to an extent, but like I'm in school, so my heart belongs to a lot of places that where my heart does not belong.
Yeah.
I.e. student loans. I mean, thankfully here at Southeastern, we don't have to do that. But like from my undergraduate and graduate degrees, you have to have student loans to a degree. And so it's like if we look at my bank account, that's where my heart belongs. But if you look at like Luke says, where out of the wellspring of your heart, your mouth speaks, a better audit, I think, is looking at your social media accounts. What have you been posting? What are the last 5 to 10 things that you've been posting? And that'll show you very clearly where your heart's at.
Yeah.
Because not only do you think it's worth talking about, you think it's worth talking about in front of however many friends you have. So like on my Facebook, I think there's 1,200. If I post something there, it's because I think it's worthy of saying in front of or into a microphone of in front of 1,200 people. Is that where my heart's at? I think that's a yeah. better gauge of my heart than, say, my money.
I mean, and look at the percentage of posts that you do on Facebook that are political. And if the overwhelming percentage of posts on Facebook is political, you know, I think it's safe to say that's where your heart is.
Right, exactly. And I think with a lot of political conversations, so I have a certain bent in my politic. But at the same time, I want to be able to look at my politics as I look at like a jacket. I'm wearing a cardigan right now. So I can take this off at any time as it suits me for the environment that I'm in.
Right.
So to put it on and go, this is a time for me to put on my politic and have a legitimate conversation because who I am at my core should be Christian. So if this helps me to move into this situation or in this environment to speak the gospel clearly, I'm going to put it on. Now, at the same time, if I'm walking into an environment where that jacket, that cardigan, whatever, is going to be a hindrance, a dividing wall for me to be able to get the gospel forward, I'm going to take it off. So that's the idea, is how do we use, in this case, our politic to move the gospel forward? And right now in our political atmosphere, tons of conversations are happening about the gospel. And I've had more conversations with people I could not be farther from politically on Facebook about the gospel because of the willingness to go, I might be seeing this the wrong way. Now, granted, I think I'm trying to see it as best as I can biblically, but I want to see their side. I want to hear their story because these people have stories behind why they view things the way they view things. So to see that and to go, this is a person made in God's image. And if they don't know the gospel and I'm just going to lambast them for holding a view that's contrarian to mine, then I need to repent of that because then I am to them keeping them from the gospel. If I have the medicine and I'm going to offend them away from me, I'm a bad doctor.
Right, right.
Now, if I have the medicine, if I bring them close to me in some way that I can, I'm a good doctor.
Well, I think our number one concern when we're engaging on Facebook is the particular subject, getting our opinion out there. And I don't know how often any of us are thinking about when you start looking at all the people that say thumbs up or thumbs down or I love this post, or especially ones that comment and maybe you get back into a conversation. You know, I personally don't know the vast majority of people that I interact with on Facebook. I don't know whether they're lost or found.
Right.
And I have to be careful that as we approach it, and we'll end up talking about 3 tips on personal social media usage from the scriptures, but I have to always have that first and foremost. I wonder if I'm talking to an unbeliever.
Right. And I think at the same time, the gospel is the most helpful thing for encouraging a believer and for seeing an unbeliever become a believer. So the gospel is the essence of what our conversation is. And so if we're not doing something or using a tool in a way that's helpful to get people to the gospel, whether that be through encouragement or through evangelism, we're doing something wrong. That's, like I said, it's the core of who we are. It's what makes up our identity, that we are found in Christ. And so if we are willing to push people away from our identity, then we've got a real question about, are we really found in Christ?
Yeah.
Or are we finding our identity in something else?
Well, I think when I, you know, and here's one of my challenges, then I try to remember this. If I'm going to post something, share something, some article, if I just share it and have kind of a knee-jerk reaction that I share in order to get it going, which you could call clickbait if you wanted, versus, okay, I'm going to take the Las Vegas thing or Donald Trump in Puerto Rico thing or whatever, mm-hmm. take whatever's going on. And then is there some kind of an on-ramp out of this particular subject or this post to the gospel?
Yeah.
Can I throw some kind of thing out there, call it a little breadcrumb, call it whatever you want to, that might initiate a gospel conversation? Now I'm using the news of the day.
You're harnessing a tool.
I'm harnessing it. trying to just kind of ring a bell to see if maybe somebody will want to engage on that
and
level.
It's winsome at that point. You're doing something winsomely where it's going to draw people versus overtly where it could just push people who are already on the fringes out.
Yeah.
You want to winsomely bring them in. And that's part of those breadcrumbs. You can do things in a way that slowly and subtly brings them into a bigger conversation. I just got into one the other day and it actually looks like it's going to end up in being like a dinner with multiple people.
Wow.
I will probably be the most conservative person there. But all of that to go, because someone posted something and I was willing to have an open dialogue with whether or not this is a good thing. And then to be honest with you, somebody else jumped in and said, I think this would be a good thing for us to have a conversation face-to-face about.
Wow.
Was on their part a genius move so that we can all get together and take this off the digital realm and put it in the face-to-face realm. Because then there's nuance, there's movement, there's facial stuff. You can see all the nonverbals that are necessary for a good and healthy conversation.
And we generally behave ourselves better in person.
Typically.
Generally.
Unless you're on the radio.
Yeah, except those guys. So when we come back, we're going to kind of get into, and this will be our final segment when we come back already, believe it or not, three tips on your personal social media usage. But is there something that I kind of mentioned it earlier, Sam, but is there something that should be in our forefront before we even engage? Should we have some kind of gate that we're going to go through before we do anything on social media?
I think before you do anything in general, have the gospel to go through. Is this characteristic of the person of Christ that we have seen revealed to us in Scripture? If it is not, don't do it, especially as a believer. That's your lens for seeing the culture. That's your lens for doing anything, especially for opening your mouth, because from your mouth, you show your heart.
Right.
So I think that's your lens, your gate, like you use, is the gospel. Does this befit the person of Christ as we see him in the Scriptures?
Yeah. What kind of witness am I throwing out there when I post this, when I share this, when I comment? I think that's what we always have to ask. So when we come back from the break, we'll finish up with three tips on your personal social media usage. We'll use some Scripture there. But between now and the end of the show, just a reminder, we are giving away tickets for Call to Worship, which is our annual worship event. Friday, October 27th here in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'll be there, and Matt Papa, who you hear his music here on the show regularly, phenomenal praise and worship leader, singer-songwriter, and then the Upper Room Praise Band and their team, which is Bishop Wooden's church down in South Raleigh. And that's where we're going to be. We're going to kind of mash white church, black church together that night, some great testimony and an opportunity to support this radio ministry Call to Action. So if you want to call in and get tickets, we're going to be giving them away every day between now and the end of the show. 866-348-7884. Just need your name and your email, and then I'll get you your tickets, as many people as you want to bring or can commit to bringing. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more. Wow, some more Matt Papa. More Matt Papa here on Call to Action Radio. That's what you're listening to. He's just making a lot of rotations here in our bump music, which means God is looking you square in the face and saying, yes, you too need to be at Call to Actions, Call to Worship on Friday, October 27th. That's just an awesome time. Yeah, thank you. You know, it's prophecy. So, you know, you just give me some license there. Anyway, Call to Worship, that's Matt Papa, and that's going to be a great night. This will be our fourth annual one. Number one comment I hear when people come out of that, they number one is, I've never experienced anything like this before, and number two is, I wish church would be more like this. And I think the only reason that happens is because it's a really diverse crowd that comes together for Call to Worship. We have phenomenal music. The Spirit's really sweet, and we're doing not just praise and worship, but we're doing worship through testimony and worship through conversation. And a lot of people just coming together from different churches, meeting in one particular place. It's really a beautiful picture of the body of Christ and an important night for supporting the radio ministry of Call to Action. So giving tickets away every day between now and October 27th. So if you want to join us Friday, October 27th here in Raleigh, 7 p.m. that night, 866-348-7884 is our number. So give us a call before the end of the show, 866-348-7884. Or 866-34-TRUTH. We just need your name and your email address, and we'll get you the tickets that you need to be a part of that night. We're talking to Sam Morris today. He's on the staff out here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and we get to talk to Sam every once in a while on Theology Thursday to talk about our social media lives which are active but not generally managed well. And I've certainly done a lot of damage out there in the social media world of my witness and in interacting with other people. And I think we all need to be reminded of the seriousness of it and bring it under the lordship of Christ, as we're supposed to do that with every aspect of our lives. So, Sam, I mean, you talk to pastors and you're getting ready to put a blog up on this on Lifeway. I mean, how often do you run into ministry leaders and pastors and church staffs that really understand the power, both positive and negative, of social media?
Boy, that's a hard question to answer. To understand both sides, I don't know how many people I've met who get. So in my role, I get to see a lot of the bad and a lot of the good. Now, I've seen pastors who use a lot of the bad examples primarily. And I joke with my wife that social media is like the whipping post right now for most pastors as bad examples, because it's full of bad examples as well. But for my job, I get to see a lot of the good examples on how social media is used between conversations that go really well with people who are deeply divided. And you don't ever really hear about those because they're not, you know, it's not juicy. It's not that kind of good argument. But at the same time, Facebook is a good place where you can see a lot of problems. So to meet people who know both sides is difficult. And that's where I come in a lot of times, is just to give a talk on social media and how to use it well as a Christian.
Yeah.
To talk through, here's some of the problems, because there's a lot of problems, but then there's a lot of really good things that can come out of Facebook and social media and our usage of it as Christians. And so that's where usually I come in, is to go, here's how you can use it well. Here's how I've seen it used well. Here's how I've experimented with it to see it used well.
Yeah.
Both on an institutional setting, which there's some PR stuff that goes on
there.
Sure. But then on a personal setting, to go, you can have some conversations with people that you don't really agree with at all.
Yeah.
In a way that's civil and kind and actually beneficial for both.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it would be effective. I got into it several years ago. This is on the heels of passing the marriage amendment back in 2012 here in North Carolina. And I was into it on a back and forth that was happening in real time on Facebook with somebody that had gone to the church that I was going to at the time, a young guy. He was probably 19 or 20. He was in college. And man, I mean, I just got upset. Mm. So I started leaning into him on Facebook. And then all of a sudden I got a private Facebook message from another young Christian who had been in the Sunday school that I taught.
Mm.
And he's saying, well, Mr. Noble, I don't mean any disrespect here, but I'm just noticing it seems like you're getting really upset. And from the outside looking in, it looks really bad. And I know that you care about this guy. I understand your position. I know that you're bringing a biblical position. I just thought it was worth telling you.
But that's a good use of community.
Oh, my goodness. That was awesome.
Let me say something.
Yeah. And then I thanked him after that. I said, thank you so much, because I was getting so caught up in it. And I knew that the position I was taking was right. I knew he was wrong based on the authority of God's word. But it was the way that I handled it,
mm-hmm.
which was horrible. And it was so good. This was a young Christian, probably 22, 23 years of age, who respectfully said, hey, Mr. Noble, this doesn't look very good.
Yeah. And that's always a helpful piece, and a helpful way to use social media is to use it communally like that, to come together and say, how can we help hone each other, sharpen each other for the benefit of those watching?
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let's go into these three tips on your personal social media usage. So these are going to be three really concrete things that all of us need to pay attention to. Number one, Sam, from your list, this is really excellent. Thanks for bringing this. There's no such thing as a powerless word. So what does the scripture say about that?
So Luke 6:45 says, out of the wellspring of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we have to be wise about what we say and how we say it, but at the same time, when we say it. Sometimes we can say the exact right thing. It's factually true, textbook true, biblically true even, but we say it at the wrong time. So it could be the wrong thing even.
Right.
You see that in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. We talked about this in the last segment with the last five things you posted. Are they beneficial? What do they say about your heart? Where your heart is at? Because out of the wellspring of your mouth, the heart speaks.
Say, is there any gospel influence there
right.
at all?
And if you can do that as part of your quiet time without getting sucked into the black hole that is Facebook, then I would recommend that.
Yeah, yeah.
Another thing, Ephesians 3:13-17, I won't read the whole thing, but it's basically Jesus has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, making us united with God again. He's reconciled us with God through the cross and thereby kills the hostility. So the point of that is the biggest wall of separation, quite frankly, our biggest problem has been taken care of by Christ and his cross. And at the same time, what that means for us as people is that the biggest problem between us has also been taken care of by Christ and his cross. The dividing wall of hostility is broken down and he has killed the hostility. So when it comes to Republican or Democrat, that dividing wall should no longer be there as believers. While we might disagree on the best functional or practical ways to run a country and whether or not some of those ways are biblical or unbiblical, what we need to remember is that in Christ we have brothers and sisters who are on both sides of the line and even on all kinds of sides of the line, whether they're independent or anything else. Then we have to bear in mind that Jesus has broken down this hostility wall and this wall of hostility so that we need to bring anything that could be a dividing wall between us and others and examine it, like we talked about, through the lens of the gospel. Is this worth doing or saying or arguing about?
Well, let me go back to my my practice of segregation. So I'm going to segregate the entire planet right now into two columns, lost and found.
There you go.
Okay? So if you know for a fact that somebody that you're engaging with on Facebook, or if you suspect that they're lost, the question there is, am I shutting a door to the gospel or am I building a bridge? So even if we disagree, I need to do it in a way that remains winsome, that keeps me as a person that they might listen to as I share the gospel, which is supposed to be the gospel of reconciliation and love and peace. So there's that in mind. On the other side of it, which is specific to the context of Ephesians, there's the found people. Right. There's the body of Christ. And we're not going to agree on everything on politics or anything.
But otherwise. Even doctrine,
we're going to have problems there. So when I think of that, if I'm engaging with somebody that I know is a believer, even if I'm torqued off because they're wrong on this or that or the other thing,
you will still spend eternity with them.
Right. I'm still going to spend it. But I also remember that Jesus said they'll know your mind by the way you love one another.
Exactly.
So if I'm engaging another Christian, I also know that lost people on Facebook are watching me engage another Christian.
Because it's social.
And if we're not loving each other well, even through that disagreement, I'm harming the gospel there too.
Right.
So the gospel's really at play the whole time.
Yeah. And is that how we interact with each other, that way we love each other, can really draw into or repel those people who are watching from the outside. The other ones that we've got are it's a helpful tool. Let social media be a tool to augment or build off of the conversation. The goal is not just to say, I shared the gospel and I did my evangelism work on Facebook. It's not supposed to take the place of mission. We are still called to go. We're still called to preach. We can use Facebook to do that for sure. But at the same time, like we were just talking about, moving those conversations into the physical world, if possible, do it. I've seen people come to faith through social media and people's interactions with them on social media.
Sure.
But the goal is then how do you disciple someone through Facebook?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So how
Not
do you
easily.
Move that? Yeah, really difficult. But doing that in a way that's using the tool back to where it began to build a community. Rather than to say I'm going to build my own platform or my own kingdom, I'm using this tool to build God's kingdom. That's the goal behind the tool. And then when you do that, you both go ironically back to the roots of social media, but you also start to use it as a Christian for God's glory and God's kingdom. And then lastly, is to steward,
and this is super important, this one,
to steward your words well. And this one I think is just difficult. I was just on a trip and I was having aimless conversation with some people on that trip. And in the middle of it, just realizing we will be judged for the words that we speak. So we need to steward our words well, especially on social media, but at all times, really. Because how we speak is going to determine, we will be judged for how we speak. On social media, a couple of things that you can do is wait before you post. One thing that I've heard people doing and I myself do is to take an hour to 24 hours to wait before responding to someone. I will routinely sit there with a post written out, and it's, I think, very well written out, and then delete it.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think it's right, or it's not the right time.
Yeah, we should all, deleting something we're about to post should be something we can all relate to.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and you're looking at it going, all right, I'm just going to hold the delete button down.
I talk to my wife about a lot of stuff.
That's a great idea. And then the waiting, see, the beautiful thing about Facebook is if I wait 2 or 3 hours to respond, if I tag that person or go back to that post, they're going to know I responded.
Yeah, they'll see it.
So you're not completely out of the conversation. No. There's just a delay, and we all need a little bit of a delay on that wicked little thing that's in our mouth that translates to the keyboard and out there into social media. Sam, it's always great to have you. Such an important topic. Thanks for bringing the wisdom to
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, friends, we'll be back tomorrow. I'll talk about division. We're going to go down the road of gun control, gun laws, and what we just witnessed and saw in Las Vegas. A difficult conversation, but one that we're going to have, and we're going to do it with as much love as we can muster. This is Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. And God willing, we'll talk to you again real soon.